We're thrilled to have our longtime partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball on board as sponsors of the Coaching You podcast. Dr. Dish machines are undoubtedly the most user-friendly and advanced machines in the world of basketball today. Dr. Dish has completely revolutionized and reimagined the shooting machine to provide the best solution on the market. Join top programs around the world like Duke, North Carolina, Florida, and countless others and upgrade your shooting machine to Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish machines are the best way to increase purposeful reps in your program to get players better, faster, while tracking progress along the way. Dr. Dish provides so much more than just your standard shooting machines with custom training, pro trainers, and coaches on demand, real-time and detailed analytics, and top-of-the-line drills and workouts. If you're looking to take your program to the next level, look no further than Dr. Dish for the best basketball training machine in the world. If you have an old machine that's just collecting dust in your gym, did you know that you can trade that in to Dr. Dish for up to $1,500 off and get a new dish? Make sure to give our friends at Dr. Dish a follow at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter and Instagram for great daily drills, workouts, tips, and inspiration. Or contact us at drdishbasketball.com. Don't forget to mention Coaching You or our podcast for $300 off your purchase. Coaches, are you looking to take your game preparation to the next level? Then Fast Model Sports is the perfect coaching software for you. With FastDraw, build an organized library of plays and drills and create professional playbooks to share with your players and staff. You can also download over 9,500 free plays and drills from our playbank directly to your FastDraw account. Looking for a better way to build your scouting reports and want to include video? With FastScout, build custom scouting report templates to prepare your team best for each individual opponent. Plus, did you know with the latest updates from Fast Model Sports, you can now include video with your FastScout reports and share with your coaches and staff all within the FastScout mobile app? The combination of FastDraw and FastScout is by far the best way for you and your coaches to create winning game strategies and effectively communicate them to your team. Over 10,000 high school and youth coaches trust Fast Model Sports products to help their teams reach their goals. To order, go to fastmodelsports.com. Use code COACHINGYOU15 to get 15% off any FastDraw or FastScout products. Remember, go to fastmodelsports.com, use code COACHINGYOU15 to get 15% off any FastDraw and FastScout products. Hey, welcome to another Coaching You podcast with the coach, Brendan Sir, with a special edition for our March Madness. Every year at the Final Four, Fast Model and Coaching You put on a free event for coaches that are there. And what we have is a packed house of usually 200, 250 coaches that get a free opportunity to listen to four of the very best coaches there are in basketball who really try to help them in their development. Last year, we had four incredible coaches, but I want you to listen to part of a message that Buzz Williams, the incredible coach of Texas A&M, gave to our coaches that were there. And I think you'll really appreciate who he is. He's one of the best coaches in the country, but he's so much more than a coach. And that's what I love about Buzz. During March Madness, you know, there's so much going on. And, you know, I think one of the things that we do at Coaching You is, you know, we really want to make sure, even though it's towards the end of the season, you know, this is when we work on our crafts. And so we have a March Madness special that we run every year where you can get 20% off our incredible app at Coaching You. And All you have to do is go to coachinguplus.com, and that's coachinguplus.com. You can get 20% off either $7.99 a month or $79 for the whole year, $119 value. You get all the clinics that we have, and we're adding at the rate of almost 100 per year of speakers. So it's absolutely incredible. What an investment in yourself and your team and your staff. So I really recommend it. Use our promo code MADNESS20 at checkout to save 20% off your subscription to our Coaching You Plus app. Enjoy now Buzz Williams from last year's Next Gen Coaches Forum. When you started out your career, and I think it's important, you're a Texas guy. You started out very humbly, and I don't want to go through your entire thing, but when you started, what are the key things to make you that the traits that you had that made you successful as a coach? And looking back in hindsight, humbly.
Yeah, obviously I had no idea what I was doing. From a town without a red light, paid my way to college, went to junior college because I could afford it. Introduced myself to the coach, finished my last 2 years at an NAIA school. And then my first coaching job was $100 a week at UT Arlington. In truth, I think looking back, the reason why a lot of what I just said was good was my paradigm was so small. I didn't know anything. When I was in junior college, I was wondering, is there a possible way I could be the assistant coach here someday? And then when I was at the NAIA school, I'm washing the coach's car. I'm picking up his clothes at the laundry. I wonder how I could be an assistant coach at the NAIA school. And was upset that I'd limited myself to thinking that I could be the assistant coach at junior college. So I think that my paradigm was so small that each step that I took, I realized there was more, but I was trying to figure out how I could be good doing what it was that I was doing. I think that the world's changed so much now. The business, what it really is versus what Twitter says it is. But I think the things that matter are still the things that matter. Life's strange. And this is my 29th year as a coach, 16th year as a head coach. And you travel so far from manager at a junior college to whatever it is that I'm doing now. And the things that I used to look for back then are still the same things that I look for now. And it's because what matters still matters.
So there was a game this year that I happened to be watching at the University of Florida. You're playing on the road.
Yeah.
Love Gainesville, like Florida. All of a sudden, I notice the game is being delayed. Comes out, Texas A&M doesn't have their uniforms. Okay. It's a road game. You're staying in a hotel a couple miles away. You don't have your uniforms. Post-game presser, you said what? To the media, why you didn't have the uniforms?
I just said that the uniforms were in my room and I forgot to take them out just to protect the guys that were involved because I used to be those guys.
Yeah. And I thought that was so cool. And every manager in America is like high-fiving and saying,
Yeah, a lot of them wrote me letters.
Because I said that is so cool because we, in now in life, anytime someone screws up, we point fingers. And I call it the circle of blame sometimes. Everyone points, next thing you know, it comes back to them. And you know, then eventually they blame their teammates, but now they end up blaming the coach. But I thought that was so classy. And and those guys, I thought it was great. Your relationship with your players, you have a whole way of doing that. And the importance of that is the X's knows which you are phenomenal at. Your defense is, I thought it was the best in the SEC this year.
Thank you.
But How has that evolved when you've gotten into coaching? Each year, I think it gets more important, relationships.
I think in the end, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I don't think that it matters what level you coach at. Right. I think in the end, as fast as the world moves, everything is about relationships. And whatever your calendar is, if it's not investing in those that are on your team, I think you have a short shelf life. I think you have to invest in, I try to view it as if I have two teams. I have a team full of adults and I have a team full of young adults. And how can I help invest in each team each day? And then the older I get, there's a third team. And that third team is my brain, my body, and my soul. Because what happens is if you don't invest in your body, in your brain, in your soul, then eventually the diet you're feeding yourself, you're going to starve. And when you starve, you realize you're hungry before those that you are leading realizes that the diet that you're feeding them is malnourished. And so you have three responsibilities every day. And those are those three teams. And everything is an investment. How can you invest in the adults? And you better invest in the adults as much as you invest in the young adults. Because if your staff is not on the same page with the same intent as you, you will eventually lose your job. And then you need to invest in the young adults. And if all you are doing is investing in who they are as players, that will end abruptly as well. You have to invest in their lives. When you invest in their lives, their game will change. Very rarely do I spend any time with our players or our staff talking about basketball. Here or there. I like it, but I spend very, with each passing year, I spend less time coaching than anything in my job.
As a head coach, from Marquette to Vatek to here, you always had a program. Now I believe it's Get Better.
Yep, right? That's right.
And I think it's brilliant because what you're doing is you're accepting a responsibility that, frankly, I have a master's degree, halfway through a doctorate, I haven't learned anything from any of that.
Yeah.
Everything that I do in my life has nothing to do with what I've done in formal education, unfortunately. It's not me. I think it's a failed education system. And I think he's a great example. His players, they come from all different walks of life, but you're providing them the education of life.
Yes.
In those courses. Would you explain a little bit of what you do and that all of you can do it from the high school, college level?
Yeah, I teach a class, if that's the easiest way to say it, to our team. And it's during the non-season. And it is Get Better. It's Get Better 101 as if it is literally a class. But I've done it everywhere. It was life lessons at Marquette. It was tech talks at Virginia Tech. And then it's just Get Better 101 now. And it has nothing to do with ball. It's just how to help them. I think self-awareness is the most underrated skill in leadership. So many players lack self-awareness. And the more I'm around this crowd, not these people, but this environment at the Final Four, there's so many coaches that have zero self-awareness. It's the most underrated skill in leadership. And so as much as I can, I want to try to help their EQ as much as I help their IQ. Because when you can help somebody's EQ, their IQ is going to improve. When you help someone's life, their game is going to mirror the trajectory. I help their life, their game's going to get better. We don't know many players who are good players, who are bad people, who stay good players and stay bad people. Mm-hmm. It eventually is a train wreck. And so I think anything that you can do, even as the leader, I try to ask way more questions than give statements. I walk into a staff meeting, I act like I don't know anything. I ask the coaches, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? To the point that our staff, who most of our staff has been around me for a long time, they know I already know the answer, But I just ask the question because it keeps my spirit humble, but it also gives them reps mm-hmm. of if you were sitting in this chair, what would you do and how would you do it? And so I think that's a way to grow the staff. But I do the same thing with our players. I ask our players questions during a timeout. I ask our questions. I ask our players questions in halftime.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, I mean, I was coaching that All-Star game yesterday, and everything I did was a question. Hey, guys, I've never coached in an All-Star game. I know you guys have played in many All-Star games.
That's good.
So if this were to happen, how would you go about it? What would you do? Anytime you can create ownership as a leader, you also create awareness. When you create awareness, you create ownership. And that's all we're trying to do, right? We all want better players. We all want better assistants. And it's never our fault as the head coach. But the best head coaches seek the heat. They don't defend the heat. Mm-hmm. Watch any press conference. And I have made literally it's my only hobby other than clothes. I read every newspaper every day about every NFL team, every Power 5 football team, every Power 5 basketball team. I do it every day. I've done it for 13 years now. I watch every press conference of every NFL coach every Monday, and I watch every press conference for sure in the SEC in January and February. In September, October, November, December, I try to watch as many press conferences as I can. And you guys know this, like when you watch a press conference as a coach, whether you realize it or not, subliminally, you're watching that and you're judging it. You're judging his body language. You're judging his ability to articulate whatever he's trying to say, but you're also judging it based on your beliefs. Hey, is what he's saying, is that right? The best way to learn from it is to not judge it. The best way to learn from it is when you're doing it, how would you do it different? And in my opinion, the best way to create ownership is by asking questions. And so I watch as much as I can, not so I can learn what to do or what not to do, because I'm not judging it in that way. I watch it and read so I can gather as much content as possible so that my questions are better. Because I think when your questions are better, those that you are trying to lead, they feel connected to you because you're asking for their help. And so as much as I can, I try to act like I'm the dumbest person in the room.
That's pretty good. In a scout, when you guys are going over one of your SEC opponents, do you ever ask a player, let's say there's a side pick and roll, do you ever say, how do you guys want to defend that?
That's pretty much what our scouting reports are. We're similar to an NFL team. We play two games a week. The NCAA makes you take off one day a week. So that means there's 4 days left. So one of those days is the day before the game.
Right.
Well, if you're playing two games, that means two of those days are one day before. That means the other 2 days are 2 days before. So if you ask our players what's today, they would never say today is Saturday. They would say today is game day. And everybody in the organization knows what their responsibilities are on game day. As it relates to the film room, as it relates to the weight room, as it relates to the court, as it relates to warm up, as it relates to practice, as it relates to everything. Game day, here's what everybody does. One day before, this is what we're going to do on the court. This is what we're going to do in the film room. This is what we're going to do in the weight room. This is what we're going to do relative to skill and shooting. 2 days before, the same things apply. So our conference season is 9 weeks long. That's 63 days. There's 63 days. 9 of them are off. 18 of them are game days. So that means that there are the same equal number of 2 day before, 1 day before, game day, day off, and it doesn't matter what day it is. And so when it comes to a scouting report 2 day before, Our offensive coordinator is not talking that day. Our defensive coordinator is talking that day. Our director of player personnel is going to give the report and clips on the three best players. I'm going to start the day with context on the opponent. I'm going to finish the day on some category. We call it a big rock. What are our big rocks? What are the priorities of the scout? We get two big rocks on 2 days before. We get the last two big rocks 1 day before. Everything is scripted. And so there's no confusion by our players. No player ever asks a coach, hey, coach, what are we doing today?
Yeah, right.
Nobody. And no player is ever going, hey, today's Tuesday. They're going to know today is 2 days before. Today is 1 day before. Today is game day. Yeah. And so, but that works that way within our entire organization.
And you provide an organized thing and help.
Correct.
Them. And that's the way they should approach even their class life, et cetera.
I think what ends up happening is like we do skill work every day we work.
Got it.
Skill work is always in the morning. So if we have a game, there is no skill work. If it's an off day, nobody's doing anything. But if it's 2 days before or 1 day before, we're doing skill in the morning. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the team. But when we come back in the afternoon, we're going to have film, we're going to have weights, and we're going to have practice. And all of that will be reflective of whoever the opponent is.
So big question, college, NBA, the youngness of the people, the Gen Z, the college guys, you're all coaching Gen Z kids.
Yep.
The attention span from a Dr. Tim Elmore.
Yep.
Is,
I'm a fan.
Me too. Growing leaders, take one thing home, growing leaders, Dr. Tim Elmore out of Atlanta, worked for John Maxwell for 30 years. He taught me so much about how to teach young people. He's an education specialist. And he told me this year, I said, hey, what do you think? NBA is now doing like 4 or 5 minutes of scouts. He said, what are they doing? It's 7 to 17 seconds is the attention span of the people you're coaching.
Yeah.
7 to 17 seconds. So I have a lot of friends that coach people and give a lecture every day for 1 hour before practice. And then they can't understand why their guys went through had a shitty practice. What happened? God, no energy today. Yeah, you put them to sleep, right? And so it's so important. So how much are you guys on your film stuff?
Yeah, a few things on that. Yeah. I agree with everything you said.
Thank you.
Tell me what you think. Not what you heard. Because so much of the content of Gen Z, it's what they heard. Their mama said it. Their dad said it. Their mentor said it. Their AAU coach said it. Twitter said it. Instagram said it. Snapchat said it. TikTok said it. Okay, I don't want to know that. That's what you heard or what you saw. Gen Z never has to speak on what they think. And I don't have a problem with it. I'm trying to learn how to lead from it. If you scroll through your phone every day, they're telling you what to think because your phone has an algorithm. This is what you like and this is what's important. So however all of that works, you are fed through your eyes and through your ears, someone else's opinion. And most Gen Zs never think. And they don't think because they're always on their phone. And if you just walk in a room, even our room, our phones, we're addicted to them. And so we, whatever generation we are in, we do not think as clearly as we should, and we do not develop our own thoughts. So most of how I start every day when I have alone time with somebody, what do you think? And here's the first thing they always say, even our staff members. About what, coach? Anything, man.
Tell me
what are you thinking?
Right.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking about the ball screen? But I don't want to say on that side ball screen, you want to ice it? You want to switch it? I don't ever say that because I'm guiding them to what I want them to think about.
Right.
I can lead better when I go, what do you think? About what? I don't know, anything. And now they're forced to speak.
Yeah.
But if all you're doing is what you've heard and what you've seen, you never take time. You can't touch that for 3 hours. Well, nobody does that. So what do you think? I don't know. I never have time to think. Okay, well, let's work on it. And now all of a sudden, that clues me in to what they've been hearing and what they've been seeing.
Fabulous. Thanks. Love that. That could be an ultimate takeaway for you. I'm serious. That's big time stuff. Talk about one of my favorite things that you do. A lot of my favorite things you do. But one of them is Buzz's Bunch. I love that.
Yeah, it's a special need organization that my wife and I started when I became a head coach. We have four children. All four are healthy. We're thankful for that. Coaches for Cancer is really important. There's a lot of other organizations that are just as important. And without being a jerk, I wanted to be a part of something. I didn't want to join something that was already going. I'm not against that. We support a lot of those things. But we started Buzz's Bunch. It's the only time my name is used. I'm not on the media guide. It's not anything specific to me. Buzz, that's my nickname. That's not what my parents named me. That's what everybody calls me by. That's the only thing where my name is used. Buzz's Bunch. We've never restricted it in size, and we've never restricted it in scope. So we have seen children of every problem and families with incredible stories. And similar to you guys, probably you've had different jobs. So there's a Buzz's Bunch logo. When we were at Marquette, the logo was blue and gold. When we were at Virginia Tech, it's orange and maroon. And obviously now it's maroon and white. And every family that's ever been a part of Buzz's Bunch, whether they come to the games or the camps, they're still a part of Buzz's Bunch. Everybody still gets it. It started 15 years ago. And so we have special need children who are now coaches. We have special need children who have went on to Division I managers, graduated coaches. We do it every year. In the end, I think it's something that Corey and I will continue to do when I'm not coaching, because we've created so many relationships. Our players are involved. Our coaches are involved. No matter where we've been, it's the same time every year. It's pretty cool.
It's my favorite. It really is. Two questions for Buzz. Who has one? Yes, sir.
What are some of the main principles you teach in your Get Better class?
Good question.
Yeah, the easiest way to answer it is, if you had a son, what would you want your son to know how to do? Does your son know how to tie a tie? Does your son know how to change a tire? Does your son know what taxes are? All of the sons in our program, they all are going to play in the NBA, but they have no idea what the NBA is. They don't know how many teams. They don't know how many players. They don't know how they're paid. They don't know what an agent is. They don't know what an Exhibit 10 is. They don't know what a two-way is. They don't know what a G League is. They don't know how much those guys get paid. They don't know how to write a check. They don't know how to balance a check. Everything is on their phone. It's ATM. So anything. Anything. Josh could tell you, we've done it. I guess Josh is going into year 8. There's probably been 3 lessons in 8 years that have been a repeat. So I try to make it current where it's, my sons are getting older now. And so if they were my son, what do I want them to learn? And anybody that's on campus that day, they have to go. So if we got a visitor, you got to go. If their parents are there, you got to go. Your children of our staff, you're on campus watching open gym, you got to go. And you have to have a pen and you have to have a notebook. We supply the notebook. And you have to learn to take notes. We've taught how to take notes, how to read an article and make how to summarize it, how to highlight it, what's important, why was it important, just anything. What you would want your son to know is what it is.
Like I told you, it's a lot more than you learn in college, trust me, all right? I no doubt about that. One more question. Yes, sir.
What is the best book that you've read in the last and why?
How many books you read first?
Yeah.
Not bragging, just honestly.
Yeah, so I read 4 books a day at 4 different times. The genres are pretty much the same. One will be spiritual to feed my soul. One will be leadership-esque, because I think that that's what we're all are doing. One will be a biography of some sort, preferably about someone I don't know and don't have any idea of, and so I have to turn my brain on. And then the fourth one, I don't sleep a lot, and so I need a book that I don't have to feel like I have a pen for. So at night, I read a book that I hope will help me fall asleep. I read 1 book a week, 4 books a day, but I complete 1 book a week, and I've done that for a long time. Those that can read and don't are no different than those who can't. And in 5 years, the difference in who you are today and who you will be in 5 years will be the people that you meet and the books that you read. And I believe that a book is worth 5 years of experience. And so I try to read as many different books to garner as much experience for me to lead from as possible. I'm saying this respectfully. Over the last decade or so, I think certain people have learned that I read a lot, and so they always ask me that question, and I'm real reluctant to ever give an answer, not because I'm trying to be a jerk, but you play games in November, December, January, February, and March. And so I have 7 trips a year that I take that are learning trips for me. And every other month, I meet with an author. And it's just like the Final Four, right? You know 6 people in here. And Coach knows 72% of the audience that are affiliated with Coaching You, that he sends the mail out to, that's on the email list. But Coach is kind of a conduit to Coach Martin, to whoever's speaking today. I don't know. Like, I don't even know what this is. I'll be honest. I don't know what this is. I don't know who's here. I'm here because of Coach. He sent me a text. Coach, I have to speak at the NABC Reese's All-Star Banquet. What time do I have to be there? I'm going to go speak at that, and then I'm going to come straight here. But my point is it's the same in any industry, right? So when you go meet with an author, I always say, I would like to know what didn't make the book, right? If they're writing a 300-page book, you've already read the book. You already have the standard questions that you want to ask from the book. But it's like somebody asking you, what's your favorite ball screen play? You're like, which play? You know? Mm-hmm. So when you ask an author, hey, I read your book and I'm so excited and I got these 10 questions, they immediately shut down.
Right.
Because they're like, man, I want to know what didn't make the book.
Wow.
Because that typically is decided by somebody else. The publishing company, the literary agent, they're cutting his work. Well, that's like somebody cutting me and you. Hey, man, I just did all of this stuff, and you're saying 30% of it's going in the trash. So I want my conversations when I go, can we talk about that 30%? And they immediately go, Buzz, I want to tell you about this now. It didn't make the book, and that's wrong. And here's why. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Why didn't that make it? And then they start saying, hey, Buzz, this publishing company, this agent, that agent, they start teaching me the politics of that business. So then when I get to the end of the meeting, I'm like, hey, You think you could give me the cell number of that agent? Yeah. So then I call the agent. Hey, I just met with Coach, and I was wondering, I'm just trying to learn, right? And it's question after question, but then you can start connecting the dots. And that's what, you know, like these random people, oh, Buzz, I know your story. As soon as somebody says that to me, I'm like, eh. That just means you read my resume on the internet. You don't know my story, man. And that's why I'm real, even when he asked the first question, like, I'm really protective of that, mm-hmm. right? He's the head coach at Texas A&M, the head coach here, the head coach here. Yeah, why don't you talk about all of those other bad jobs I had? Those bad jobs prepared me for a chance to have a job that people would come listen to, right? You can always tell how good a coach is by how many bad jobs they've had. Oh, he worked at this school, that school, that school, this one. Well, they were winning regardless of coach. Yeah, I want to talk to the ones that had all those bad jobs and they turned good because he wrote a book. You know what I mean? He didn't, but he has a book to write. Yeah. And so what I would say to you is go on a thinking expedition. And they say if you give 18 minutes a day to something, you can become one of the top 5% in that field. So one of the things that I do in those 7 months besides spending time with an author is, what can I become an expert on in 18 minutes a day? What? How to guard a ball screen. How do you guard a ball screen? Well, he is Mr. Ball Screen, so he would be a resource. But as I'm talking to him, I'm not acting as if I know anything about a ball screen. I'm acting as if I don't know anything about a ball screen. And when he realizes he's teaching a kindergartner about ball screens, he's going to begin to explain how he learned so much of ball screens. And he's going to begin to talk about, he'll say it. And I hardly ever talk to coach, but he's going to say Chuck Daly. He's going to speak of Johnny Jones at some point. He's going to talk about Bob Starkey somewhere. And so he's allowing me to listen. And I can start connecting those dots. And then I call the coach, hey, Coach Starkey, I heard Coach Sir speaking and he was talking about this. And now all of a sudden, there's your 18 minutes for the day, right? And so your knowledge expands. And so what book do I love? I love all of them. And I don't read bad ones. And as soon as I start reading a bad one on Monday morning, I'm like, I won't be able to concentrate on this. I just give it away. And so whatever you're trying to be an expert on, buy all of those books. And as soon as you start reading it and it's not applying to the specific, you know, specifically what you want, just get rid of it. Give it to somebody else. But mine is, will it help me sleep? Will it help my brain? Will it help my soul? Will it help my body? Because that's a team that I have to coach in addition to the adult team and the young adult team.
That was a masterclass, okay? Big hand for Coach Buzz Williams.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Buzz. If you're in Phoenix during the Final Four, hope you get a chance to come and hear the incredible speakers that we do have. It's a great learning experience. Check the show notes for any of the information of how to come there and get your ticket. And again, remember our Coaching You Plus app. Till next week, this is the coach, Brendan Sir.